Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you're reading under the Bibles under the benches, it can be found on page 1008. Again, that's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, see the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
I want to mention a couple things before I begin this morning's lesson. Some of you were asking about Feed the Team. This up-and-coming Thursday, we're going to be hosting the varsity basketball team for the Fairborn Skyhawks. And there were some that were asking about being able to come and to serve that evening. And I wanted to make sure I checked with Keith on things, and he said, absolutely. So Thursday at 5 o'clock, if you want to show up and meet and greet the varsity basketball team. By the way, the Skyhawks won last night. Just thought I'd say that, 57-50. So you're welcome to do that. May have already been mentioned, but had a baptism last Wednesday. Brother Beecher Wilson, and it gives me great privilege and an honor to say, brother in Christ, Beecher Wilson. Beecher's with us today, and so happy that he made that decision to follow the Lord. Do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is what Paul says. Unless you've been living under a rock these past few weeks, one can easily see that our nation is divided. It is divided along economic lines, rich versus poor. It is divided along political lines, Republican versus Democrat. It is divided along racial lines, black versus white. The events that recently transpired in Ferguson, Missouri are heart-wrenching. It was a scene filled with death and destruction. A young black man lost his life. A white police officer will never be able to live a normal life. And the city of Ferguson lies in ruins. All of us from our own station and place in life, we have our own opinions, our questions, and our concerns. For example, if you are a black man or black woman, and you have been discriminated against, or you perceive you've been discriminated against, you look through the lenses of mistrust. It will shape your worldview and possibly place you on a path of retribution, vindication. Confucius once said, "The man that seeks vindication must first dig two graves." That's interesting. Disparaging feelings of race will reach back decades and create feelings of resentment and anger. For some, there is no fair, sensible way to be logical because those reasons have been skewed and angered emotions lash out. One begins to reason that way because there are some bad white men. And if there are some bad white men, then they must all be bad white men. And sadly, the very thing they hate, they become. It becomes racism in reverse. And then there are white men. He looks at places like Ferguson with disbelief, shock, and horror. In all honesty, he does not truly see things the way the black man does because his life experiences are different. His heritage, his history are probably very different. His ancestors were not told to sit on the back of the bus, or drink from a different water fountain, or go to a different restroom. Brethren, such behavior creates an enormous amount of pain in my heart. Such behavior was not right, it is not right, and it will never be right in the sight of God. Ever. So how do we make things right? How do we get right? Church, we make things right, we get right when our world view changes. When our world view changes, we change. So how do we change our world view? First, I would like to suggest to you that we become separate from the world. Meaning we must stop looking at things the way the world wants us to look at things. How does the world want us to look at things? You see, the world ignites and incites things like racism. Whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. Does it exist? Absolutely. I'm not going to deny it. It exists. Does it exist to the degree that the media would have us to believe that it does? Well, then let's really truly be fair about it. And I got to ask myself, if it is so bad, then why in the world is the media not reporting and recording black-on-black crimes? A liberal source, the Huffington Post, averages in the city of Chicago alone 2,600 shootings in the year of 2013 and even prior to. Most of those folks are, believe it or not, black on black. Why, I ask, do those stories not take precedence? I'll tell you why. It's because those stories don't rise to the satisfaction of the media's bias. You see, some media has a worldview, and because of their worldview, they have an evil agenda. Black boys shooting black boys doesn't satisfy their worldview. Black police officers shooting black boys does not suit their worldview. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it happens every single day in Chicago. If you don't think so, get an app, download it on your smartphone, or I guess mine's not a so smartphone, but download it and listen to Chicago sometime. But white police officers shooting black boys, as we say in southern Ohio, well, that dog a hunt. That dog a hunt. Listen, are there bad police officers out there? You better believe there are. There's bad white ones. There's bad black ones. There's bad red ones. And there's bad yellow ones. Have bad police officers gotten by with doing bad things? Absolutely they have. Horrendous things. I've witnessed it with my own eyes. Justice becoming injustice or no justice. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Bad police officers usually do bad things to everyone. Do you want to know why? Because they're bad police officers. But not all police officers are bad. They're not. As a matter of fact, I would say that most law enforcement is good. They live by the same rules, and the only reason we get a little bent out of shape is because they have to enforce those rules. Amen. Quite frankly, I'm glad they're doing their job. Could you imagine what our cities would look like, what our towns would look like, if we had no law enforcement? Now, I'm just going to take a line from Charles Barkley. He said, if we didn't have any law enforcement, folks, it would look like the Wild Wild West. He's absolutely right. Folks, here's what I'm trying to say to you. We have got to change our worldview, and the way we change our worldview is become different from the world, separate from the world. Is it possible to do such a thing? Jesus said that it was in John chapter 17. Remember that He prayed to His Father that He protect His disciples even though they were in the world. They're not of the world. So the $10,000 question is this: how do I become separate from the world? Friends, we must lose us and gain Christ. All of us. Every one of us. We die to self and we gain the Savior. Every one of us. We allow Jesus to take over our minds and our bodies and transform us into His image, not the image of the world. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me. It's no longer I who is living. It's Christ living in me. Do you know what happens when Christ takes over your mind, body, soul, and spirit? Your life changes. And when your life changes, your worldview changes. You no longer see things as you used to see them. I'm going to give you an example. A couple years ago, I did a funeral for Jeanette's niece, Niecy, downtown Dayton. I pulled up downtown Dayton to do a funeral for Jeanette's niece. I can assure you that I was probably the only, as a matter of fact, I was the only white preacher there that day. Right, Jeanette? Now, I can talk this way because she's my sister in Christ, and I'm her brother. And she asked me to do that funeral because she doesn't have a racial leaning or bias one way or the other. It didn't matter to her. I'm white, black, yellow, green. It didn't matter. I'm her preacher. I showed up. A couple hundred people there that day, Jeanette. Maybe more. Probably the only white guy in that crowd. You could easily spot me. I'm going to tell you what I saw that day. Here's what I saw that day. I saw people crying. I saw people laughing. I saw people hugging. I saw people comforting one another. Brethren, what I saw was people. I saw souls. There was no them and me. It was us, right? It was us that day. It was us. I joke with Keith Allen. That little sports car, he's got one. Sammy Giles has got one. I feel left out. You know, in the summertime, those guys are driving around these, I call them little Miami Vice or Magnum PI cars. You know, they got the little sports cars, the convertible top comes down, and, you know, and I joked with Keith, you know, this past summer. I said, man, I said, let's be Miami Vice. You know, I'll be Crockett, you be Tubbs, and let's just cruise around. It's one of those little cars, you don't wave at people, you just kind of drive on you. You know, you point at people. But you know what? I said, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll be Tubbs and you can be Crockett. And Keith laughed. It doesn't
Does it matter to him? It doesn't matter.
Andrew Davis is adopted.
Now, if Andrew doesn't know that, I'm sorry. I'm letting the cat out of the bag. Zach, I don't know what you're laughing at. Your parents bought you off eBay. For $9.99. That's what Jeff said. So when Andrew was going through this with the Davises to be adopted, the judge asked Andrew, he said, Andrew, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Andrew said, I want to be a black cop. A black cop. Moving right along. Anything else you want to be when you grow up? Folks, God did not give us racism. Children did not give us racism. The devil has given us racism. And let's call it for who it is, what it is, and the devil uses his resources to perpetuate it as well. We've got to become separate from the world. Our worldview is going to change. Two, we've got to behave different than the world. It's no big secret, but the world is not a very fair place. Not all things that happen to you are fair. So let me ask you this. What are you doing about it? My response to that question is this. Do the best you can do and be the best person you can be. I believe that is exactly what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter in chapter 3. Listen to what Peter expresses here in 1 Peter in chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. He says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed, for it is better, if it be the will of God, to suffer for doing good rather than doing evil. What is Peter telling us? Brother, he is telling us that nothing bad should happen to good people, to godly people, but if it does, keep your faith and keep on with it. When others see how you behave to the unrighteous, unfair treatment because you are a Christian, when they see your ability to reason and resolve, to pray for and to love instead of burn down and tear down and hate and harm, the world sees a brighter and a better future. Brother, there is no one who can offer this sin-sick world a better, brighter future than God's people. And if you believe that, you've got to change not only the way you look at others, but you've got to change the way you treat others. Third and finally, we need to be an ambassador to the world. We all know what an ambassador is, don't we? It's a person who represents someone or something else. Do you remember there in Paul's letter to those Christians in Corinth and 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 20? Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. Friends, we need to know and understand that as we live out our lives, we represent Jesus Christ. We are His ambassadors. We're His ambassadors, not the Commodores. That's Lionel Richie. We're his ambassadors. And that is why we sing the song, Take the Name of Jesus With You. If this world is going to change, we need to make sure that we're doing our part to be a part of the solution and not the problem. And when we understand that we are ambassadors for Christ, then we will be effective in changing this world's view. The pure and simple truth is this, folks. If this world is going to change, then our worldview must change. We must separate ourselves from the world in mind, body, soul, and spirit. We allow Jesus to take control of our lives. We do that when we come to Christ. When we humble our hearts before Him, we are repenting of our sins, we confess Him as our Lord, and we are baptized into Christ, things change. Our worldview changes. Our behavior changes. We behave differently than the world. Do you think it was pleasant when Jesus tells His disciples, go that extra mile? But you don't understand the way these Romans treat me. Go that extra mile. Go that extra mile. You see, the only way that this Roman's going to stand a chance to change is see someone who is changed and living it the right way, doing the right things. And we need to understand, brother, we are ambassadors for Christ unto this world. I'm going to conclude with Andrew's childhood wish. He wanted to be a black police officer. Church, I can't be a black man. I can't be a brown man. I can't be a yellow man. I can't be a red man. But I'll tell you what I can be. And I'll tell you who I can be. I can be God's man. And so can you. And when you're God's man, your view of what goes on around you is entirely different than the world's. We don't look at color. We look at content of character. We don't see them. We look around us and we just see us. We just see us. Let's stop the killing and let's start the healing. This morning I want to encourage you, if you've not surrendered to Christ, that you do so this morning. Come forward. Be baptized into Christ. Let Christ take control over your life. Your mind, your body, your spirit. Maybe you've done that, and my goodness, your view of the world has not been a godly view. It's been, quite frankly, a worldly view. And that's not working out well for you. You're not happy with it. And if you're not a happy person, I got news for you. No one else around you is going to be happy either. That's just the way it goes. And maybe you need the prayers of this church. If we can assist you, please come forward just together. We stand and we stand.